The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 14, 1993 in Stockholm, Sweden. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, Text 10.
Utkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimudhananupasyanti pasyanti gyanachakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word Jnana Chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures, heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances, under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta translation purport of text 10, chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, we have to understand how we are actually the living force within the body and not simply the body. This is the basis of spiritual life. But practically to see from that vision is a great science. It is something that happens when we develop our spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is not something which is comes accidentally. Normally, it comes because of the good association with devotees, because of an attempt to understand Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures, and due to chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. a person develops the spiritual knowledge where they're actually able to perceive that I'm not this hand, I'm not the arm, I'm not the leg, that actually I'm the living force in the body, and this body is doing so many different things, but eventually I also have to leave this body, then I take a new body, and this way one is going through the cycle of birth and death. So an intelligent person with spiritual knowledge, jnana chakshusha, with a vision of spiritual knowledge, they can perceive all these things. But a person who doesn't have this knowledge, they're not able to really understand what is happening. The sad thing is that basically the modern civilization is spiritually foolish, because they're not able to see these things. So Bhagavad Gita describes him as foolish, because everyone is conceiving that the whole goal of life is how to give sense gratification, how to give pleasure to the senses. But they don't see that these senses have got serious limitations, and that actually we're not these senses. The senses are instruments for us to gather knowledge. And the very things which make the senses feel happy in the beginning later cause us to feel suffering. Srila Prabhupada in India, he used the example that at that time it was the summer, it was hot, we had the fan going on. He said, now we are enjoying the cool breeze from the fan. But if it was the winter and we had the fan going, then we would feel it's cold. Right? If it's hot out, everyone will like the wind. But now if it's the winter, then the wind, you don't like it, because it makes you feel colder. So in material life, in material experience, there's not a pure happiness. But it requires more than ordinary vision to understand this, because everyone is simply working under this idea that to serve the senses is actually what life is all about. They don't even think that there's an alternative. That actually happiness is coming from within us, and the real purpose of life is when we are feeling completely satisfied from within. And that comes very naturally when we are serving Lord Sri Krishna. When we are pleasing Him, because we are part of Krishna, then we are also feeling pleased. We are feeling happy. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came at a time when the whole world was basically absorbed. It was a change. There was a change in the society from a spiritually oriented society to a society which superficially had morality, superficially had religiosity, but really all the people wanted was material happiness. And they had lost this jnana chakshusha. They had lost the spiritual vision. So Lord Chaitanya came at a time when people were putting on a show of morality and religion, but actually all they wanted to do was enjoy. For instance, people would have big religious ceremonies. For instance, for weddings. They'd spend a lot of money feeding people, putting on a big festival for the wedding. So it became like a competition. Who can have a bigger wedding? So someone, they had no more daughters to marry. So then they decided to marry a deity, a clay doll of Shiva and Parvati. And someone else thought, well, I'll do one better than that. I'll marry a female and a male dog together. And someone else said, let's do a whole big ceremony, marry a cat a male and a female cat, have the cat all dressed up, change the garlands, do the whole Vedic wedding ceremony with cats. What is the sense of that? There's no sense at all. They're only doing it simply to put on a show. So they actually were misusing religion for their own name and fame. So in the midst of so many difficulties, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared, and very gradually, well, he appeared, and he was actually a youth leader, you could say. He was there amongst all the youth. He was a student. He did his duty also. He was worshipping Vishnu in his house. He was worshipping the Shaligram Shila, the deity of Krishna. But basically, he was being a very argumentative student. And he was showing off his learning. And this is what he was doing. So sometimes the elderly Vaishnavas would see him and they think, now here's a bright young man. He could be a great spiritual leader. But he's wasting his time in showing off his learning and not using it to actually help society become spiritually advanced. So they would sometimes meet Lord Chaitanya, be very respectful to the elderly Brahmanas. They're intellectuals, and he'd touch their feet. And they'd say, why don't you do devotional service? Why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And he said, I haven't found a guru yet. Until I have a guru, how can I know all these things? You bless me that I can have a bona fide Vaishnava Guru. When I get a spiritual master, then I'll do all these things. So the Vaishnavas would give their blessing. So Lord Chaitanya was giving a secret that things would change once he finds a spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya's father passed away when he was still a teenager. So the whole responsibility, and his older brother had already taken sannyas. So he had the responsibility to maintain his mother, his widowed mother. His mother insisted, you're here in the house, so you should get married. So Lord Chaitanya accepted the grihastha ashram at a very young age. Then he decided, I had to go and perform pindi. You know what pindi is? That when your father passes away, then the eldest son or daughter goes and does a special worship in special temples. They do worship for Lord Krishna and they give all the sukriti, all the spiritual benefit of their worship, they give it to their forefathers, to the deceased relative. That's why in Sanskrit a son is called a putra and a daughter is called a putri. Pu means hell and tra or tree means to deliver. So someone who can deliver their forefathers from a hellish condition, they are putra or putri. They are a good son and daughter. So Lord Chaitanya thought, let me go and perform this worship at the Vishnupad temple in Gaya. It's a special temple dedicated for this type of worship, for worshipping the lotus feet of Vishnu. There's a footprint where the Supreme Lord stepped in a stone and left his footprint. So that is considered as a very sacred place. And devotees go there and worship by doing abhishek and offering prasad, bhoga, and then offering that prasadam to the departed soul. So say that somebody had got bad karmas and was in a bad situation, when all of a sudden they would be sent a whole donation from their son or daughter of sukriti, of a very spiritually like a good karma. You know, someone might be in the hospital, all those tubes in the nose, in the intravenous, tracheotomy, all, you know, doctors say, no hope, we don't know. In the previous life, there's a son going and doing this ceremony, offering the puja to Vishnu. All of a sudden, you know, remarkable cure. He's like, doctor, how did it happen? He's freed from that bad karma. Yes, a remarkable recovery. We couldn't imagine. It's a medical miracle. It must be our wonder drug. But actually, from the previous life, someone is sending a good gift. So this is a system which is quite common in India. Every faithful person will do at least once on the death anniversary of the parent. And some do it every year. Advaita Gosai, he was doing it every year. It's called the Shraddha ceremony, calling in the brahmanas and then feeding them, offering the remnants for his father. That was a famous time when Haridas Thakur took the first remnants ahead of all the other brahmanas. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he traveled up the Ganges to the north from Bengal. He went into Bihar, went to the place where the elephant was delivered from the crocodile by Lord Vishnu, the Gajendra Moksha Stan. He came down from Pataliputra to Bodh Gaya, where Lord Buddha had achieved nirvana. And then he went to the city of Gaya, where the Vishnu temple called Vishnu Pada, lotus foot temple of Vishnu, is situated. In Gaya, he met Ishwar Puri Maharaj, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Today is a special day of Giridhari Puja, of Govardhan Puja. The Govardhan Puja was also made very well known by Madhavendra Puri, because on the Govardhan he found the Nadji deities and he had them perform a very big festival. So re-establishing the Anakut, or the Govardhan Puja. So Lord Chaitanya met this great spiritual master. He fell at his feet and he said that I cannot advance in spiritual life unless I can serve Krishna through a guru. In order for me to get spiritual wisdom, I require to serve a spiritual master and to receive the mantra from the spiritual master. So you please bless me that I can have this mantra, that accept me as your disciple. So Ishwar Puri knew Lord Chaitanya because he had visited the house of Jagannath Misra when he went to Navadvip. He knew he was a sincere brahmana. He might not have known he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we don't know. If he knew or didn't know at that time. But then he gave him initiation. So after Lord Chaitanya got initiation, then he was chanting very enthusiastically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he went to the temple to perform that worship for his father. So when he first came before the beautiful lotus feet of Vishnu, and he saw them, they said, they're so wonderful, they're so beautiful, the impression. But he was lamenting, why is it I'm seeing these lotus feet, but I'm not feeling any love? My heart is so hard. When I see the Supreme Lord's footprint, I should be feeling so much love. Anyway, he went on with the ceremony, and he started to bathe his lotus feet with milk, yogurt, with clarified butter, ghee, and honey, and nectar. As he was bathing the lotus feet, he was the spirit, the love of Krishna, entered into his heart. We actually get love of Krishna when we are rendering devotional service for the Lord. by the causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna, then one gets the love for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he also manifested his love after getting initiation while he was serving the lotus feet of Vishnu. And he started to become so ecstatic that he just started chanting and dancing loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was just jumping and chanting, and the pujaris, they also, what is happening? They never saw anyone just so ecstatic. And then Lord Chaitanya, after he decided, I'm going to go to Vrindavan, I'll go to the land of Krishna. And he ran out from the temple, Krishna, Krishna, Vrindavan Bihari Lal, Krishna, I'm going to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. And he was running over the fields towards the west, heading towards Vrindavan in total ecstasy, mad in love for Krishna. And there was suddenly a voice from the sky, that Gauranga, there is a time for everything. And now is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan. Now you should go back to Mayapur Navadvip Dham and begin the Sankirtan movement of congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So that suddenly that made Lord Chaitanya stop. And then the voice said, when you take sannyas, when you take the renounced order, then you will go to Vrindavan. Now you should go back to Navadvip. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right, now's the time to go to Navadvip. He went back to his wife and mother. Otherwise he would have gone to Vrindavan. Sankirtan movement, we don't know what would have happened. So Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he also postponed his going to the Vrindavan Dham in order to give us the Sankirtan movement. So this is common understanding that when the body is so-called dead, that the soul never dies. Soul goes on living. The actual person never dies. He simply leaves the body and goes on to the next. So Vedic culture always was considering to prepare yourself for your next life. How to do that? So much advice is given how we can prepare ourselves so that when we leave this body, we can go back to the spiritual world, or so we can get a better birth, whatever our destination. Some people want a good birth in the material world. Some people want liberation from birth and death. And some people want to serve Krishna in the spiritual world eternally. Here, what do the people here want? What is your objective? How many want a good material birth in your next life? How many want to get a liberated from the birth and death and go merging into the light? How many want to serve Krishna eternally and go into the spiritual worlds? How many are undecided yet? The Vedic culture is meant to bring you up to the perfection that you want. To give a person spiritual wisdom so they know what is the perfection of life, how to achieve it. But if someone is so foolish that all they think, okay, here's a life, person's born, they grow a little bit, they produce some byproduct, they do a little work, they do something, they get old, they die, that's it, finished. So where is their intelligence? Where is their higher vision? And this way life become very shallow. What is the meaning? So for the whole world to really become compassionate, for the world to become really a better place, for a person to really make a difference in this world, they need to know who they are and develop their spiritual vision. That is an essential fact of life. That if we want to achieve any kind of permanent benefit to our life, we need to come up to this jnana chakshusha, spiritual vision. Now there's so much evidence. I met one professor professor from University of Mississippi. He told me that he's found there's over 200 research books and thousands of case histories supporting reincarnation. He told me he was going to send me some of the books, but he didn't. I have to write him why he didn't. But he said that there's so much. He's doing research himself on the research. And he found that there's so much evidence now. Even some years ago, there was a big conference on science and religion in Rome. And apparently at that time, the Russians some Russian scientists had put forward some evidence showing, using Kirlian photography, photographing the aura around a dying person. They had the whole thing on video, using Kirlian video, a rare kind of experiment, where they had kept a person within a very controlled environment with the ECG going on, the heartbeat, the mental waves, all showing on the oscilloscope. And then they showed this in a conference, how brainwave, that heartbeat stop, then brainwave stop, clinically dead. But the aura was still there around the body. Then it showed on the video how the aura rose above the body, hovered in the air over the body for 10 or 12 seconds, and then it flew off. So what does this mean? I mean, it's so obvious that there, the Atma, the self in a subtle body, has just left the gross body and then went on to the next body. Exactly what the Bhagavad Gita says. But they'll see things like this many times, people don't understand. But this is so obvious, you can see. This is obviously showing that there's a subtle existence above the gross existence. And those with the jnana chakshus, obviously those scientists could understand, well, this is a proof of life after death. But they didn't want to say it because it wouldn't be very scientific. You have to kind of present it and let people draw their own conclusions. But that was the conclusion everybody else came up, and that was the basic, then they also, so of course that was their conclusion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he returned back to Navadvip Dham, he was a changed person. He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. His other students, the students were quite surprised that our youth leader has come back, our young professor, but now he's only talking about Krishna. He's only speaking about Krishna. What happened to all the speculation? What happened to all the interesting ideas? Now it's only Krishna idea. So what's going on here? Now he's only talking about self-realization and the Atma and the Krishna. So they went and complained to Lord Chaitanya's teacher. What happened to Lord Chaitanya? It looks like he's no longer a Brahmana anymore. He's not like an intellectual, he's more like a Vaishnava devotee. So they called the teacher over, and the teacher of Lord Chaitanya came and said, what happened? You're no longer a Brahmana anymore? You're not defeating by argument? What do you mean? I can defeat anyone? Let them come forward. I will take their argument, analyze it. I will defeat it intellectually. Then I will establish, after defeating it, getting the person to agree that he has been defeated, then I will take the same argument, I will establish it again, I will convince him that his argument is correct. Then after doing that, and he admits, yes, my argument was correct, then I'll defeat it and convince him that it's wrong. Let everyone, the next person comes, I will challenge them, I'll defeat them. What do you mean? I'm still intellectual. I can debate with anyone, like any brahmana. What do you mean? So all the students said, this is a Lord, this is a Nimai Pandit that we knew. This is Nimai Pandit. Now it looks like he's back to his old form. We were getting worried. He's become, you know, a Hare Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna. So they all went, and Lord Chaitanya was there on the corner waiting, all right, who's going to come to challenge me? And they're all, the students are all fired up, you know, this is wonderful. Who comes along but the younger brother of Srivas Thakur? And he's chanting a bhajan about Lord Krishna. How Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill, how Krishna, even as a small baby, he was in the lap of Mother Yasoda, and the witch Putana came to kill Krishna by putting poison on her breast. He thought, this is just a little baby, I'll kill him and put Krishna on her breast to suck my milk, and then I will kill you. Of course, she didn't say that to Krishna, but this was her intention. But then Krishna sucked out her life because she wanted to kill Krishna, so Krishna reciprocated and killed her. But because she offered her breast like a mother, that Krishna liberated her soul and put her soul in the spiritual world as his mother. All this was being sung by Srivas's brother. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya was hearing, Nimai Pandit was hearing the bhajan of Krishna, the worship of Krishna, he became filled with love of Krishna to see how merciful is Krishna. Someone is going to kill him and he gives that witch liberation. And he started becoming so excited, Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna! And then he fell on the ground, he rolled, Krishna, Krishna! And he's just rolling on the ground crying out, Krishna, you're so merciful! And all the students are watching, oh no. Our teacher is finished. So then Lord Chaitanya, he got his composure and he took all the students by the side of the Ganges River and he had to make a confession. He told them, look it, I always tried to give you the best education, the best training I could give you. But I have to tell you, I've taken initiation and I've now realized that the absolute truth is Krishna, that the purpose of life is to realize Krishna, to realize the Supreme Godhead, to fully get spiritual vision. So how can I cheat you? I can't just give you a temporary, superficial understanding when I realize that there's something much higher to life. But I will understand it and accept it. If you want to leave me, I give all of you my permission. You can go and accept any other teacher you want. You're at liberty to leave. Because now I cannot just give you some knowledge which will not really uplift you spiritually. So you have my permission. This is, I had to tell you this. Now it's up for you all to decide. What do you want to do? You're free to go if you want. So there was a silence in the room. And then one of the leading students stood up and said, look it, all along you've been teaching us this superficial intellectualism. We didn't know anything else. Now you're telling us that this Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna and studying this Bhakti Yoga, that this is actually the best thing. You've always given us the best. So we believe you that you're going to continue to give us the best. But you never told us about this before. So how do you expect us to know? You have to bring someone and train us how to chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, we don't know how to do it. Yes, yes. We want to learn how to chant with you. So then all the students that decided to stay with Lord Chaitanya said, "We love you. You've been our best teacher. We want to be with you always." So they brought Srivas and other Vaishnava, they brought and said, "Please, you train up these students how to chant." So all the cream of the intellectual, all the best students in the whole Navadvip, it's like in those days sort of universities, they would have one professor and he would have his students and he would train them everything he knew, teach them everything he knew. So they trained them up how to do Harinam, and this was a new Sankirtan group. All the young would be equivalent to a university student. So in this way, the Sankirtan movement got a boost, several hundred bhaktas, all at a time. The best, really, cream of the bhaktas. Mukunda, Gadadhar, they're all there. They all took up the Sankirtan movement. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement at a young age, and he had to face a lot of difficulties from all the established older people that were misusing religion, misusing. So he was like a spiritual revolutionary, but gradually his movement expanded till it like swept away everyone off their feet. So we need to have a spiritual vision, but we have to be able to distinguish what is real spiritual life and what is looks like spiritual life, but it's not real spiritual life. It's like the difference between the milk and the lime drink. You know that example? There's a famous story from India about the milk and the white lime. So once there was a very rich man who was like a big landlord. He had many, much property, like a feudal landlord, lord of, like a baron or something. So he had a nice habit. He liked to take in the evening a glass of hot milk with two bananas. It's a very healthy habit. Milk at night, hot milk, helps the brain to understand spiritual subject matters, and it makes you have a sound sleep. So this was his habit. So he thought that in the market I'm not getting a pure milk. You know, sometime even today people are concerned that you buy milk in the market, sometime the calves are taken away and killed, or the mothers are killed when they no longer give milk. So, of course, in India, traditionally they wouldn't do that. They would protect the cow in the old age. So drinking milk was not a violent thing. It was a very natural thing, and you would be grateful that the milk was being given by the cow. So you wouldn't kill the cow until they died a natural death. And the calves, they would be used, either if they're female to give milk, and male they'd be used to plow in the field. Still in most of India, cow slaughter is still illegal. So like that, this gentleman, he wanted to have his own cows to get pure milk, and he would protect his own cows. So he got some cows, he got a cow man to tend for the cows and milk the cows, and then he would send his servant over to get the cow milk and heat it up, cook, and then serve him the hot milk with the two bananas every night. But apparently this baron, this lord, he was a bit suspicious type. So he always thought that, well, the milk isn't really pure. He was a doubting type of person. Maybe the milkman is putting a little water in it, selling off the milk on the side. Even though he had his own cows, he was thinking that I'm not getting the pure thing. Unfortunate. So one day, you know, every day he'd be complaining off and on, and the servant would tell the milkman, he's complaining again, thinks you're putting water in the milk. How can he think that? He says, milkmen have a habit, even though you're not selling the milk, out of habit you might do it like this. So one day the milk came and the Lord thought it was very thin. So he said, today, bring that milkman. I'm sure he's put water in the milk. It's too thin. So the servant went and told the milkman, well, you better watch out. You're going to get it today. He says, you're putting water in the milk. So then the milkman, he told the servant, this, I have a plan. Then he went to his house. And in his house, they were painting the wall using some natural rock lime. Lime is a chemical you put in the water, it makes the reaction, and then you can put on the wall and it will last for a couple of years. It's an inexpensive type of paint. So he took this chemical lime, not the lime, lemon lime, the chemical lime, and he put it in the water and it started bubbling and made the reaction. He mixed it up and he made a nice glass of hot lime. And, lime paint. Another glass was the cow's milk. One glass of milk from the cow of the landlord. He took it to the man. And the Lord said, listen, today your milk was very thin. I think you're putting water in the milk. What is this? What is going on? I want an explanation. So the milkman, he put down one glass of milk. He said, this is the milk from your cows. He said, this glass is the milk from my house. Now, which milk do you want to drink? Your cow's milk or milkman or the milk from the milkman's house? So they looked. The cow's milk was not so white, you know, the little creamy color. But the other milk from the milkman's house milk was very white, very shiny, very thick. I'm having my milk every day. Let me try the milkman's house milk one day. So he took it and drank. And then he was like, oh, it's burning inside. Oh, what are you giving me? And he died. The police found out unnatural death, homicide. They came. They made an inquiry. What happened? You fed the poison to this man? No, no. We didn't do anything wrong. We just offered. He can take this milk or that milk. He decided to take that milk. It's not our responsibility. It was his own choice. We have nothing to do with it. All right, you tell it to the judge. This looks to me like a conspiracy to murder. You gave him poison. You knew he was drinking poison. No, no, but it was his choice. And they also arrested the servant. You also knew about this. You're an accomplice. We're taking you to prison. So, you understand the story now? What is the cow's milk compared to? This is an allegorical story. So what is the cow's milk compared to? Who can say? Hare Krishna. Krishna consciousness. He speaks so softly, we don't know. Yes. Pure spiritual life is like the real cow's milk. You can say Krishna consciousness is real spiritual life, no problem. That is true. And what is the lime mix then? Sense gratification. Anything else? What else could it be? I heard a voice, but I couldn't hear what. Illusion. It looks like milk, but it's not milk. Milk is pure spiritual life. So then what is the lime mix? Well, if material life looks like spiritual life, it could be if we consider the white milk, the cow's milk as happiness, but real spiritual happiness, then we can consider the lime mix as a material happiness. It looks like it gives you real happiness, but instead it kills you. If we consider, these allegories are like that, depending how you compare it, you get different results. If you're considering the pure milk as Krishna consciousness, then the lime milk will be pseudo-spiritual, maybe some psychic or some other type, it looks like a spiritual, but it's not actually bringing you to the realization of the self and the super self, of the supreme self. It keeps you on, it doesn't bring you to that highest level. So therefore, it also forces you to die by taking again birth. Real spiritual life means it should bring you to the point of liberation, bring you back to Godhead. Now what about those two, the cow man and the servant? How do they fit into this? Who are they? Who are they like? Aren't there some people who give false spiritual teachings just to get some name and fame or get some money? And then they are, if you say, well, look at, you're giving wrong teaching. Well, it's not, it's their choice. We're just offering it. It's not our responsibility. I met one guru in India. He said he had 2,000 disciples. I said to any of them, have you ever taught them any spiritual things? He said, no, I just give them diksha. Are any of them following? That's initiation. Are any of them following any spiritual practices? Are they vegetarian? He said, one family is vegetarian. So don't you know you have to take all the karma for all these initiations? No, my father never told me that. He just said, give them initiation and take their donation. No, but you had to also liberate them and you had to give them spiritual knowledge. And you have to also take the karma for whatever they do bad. Oh, that's very heavy. I didn't know about that. So even sometimes the people, they don't know what is the actual standard of a bona fide guru. That he has to take, like a father for the child, takes spiritual responsibility, and the children, the disciples, they had to go to the guru and get spiritual guidance whenever they have some doubts, when they have some misconception. Now what about the poor lord that took the wrong milk and died? Who is he? That's easy. There's the spiritual seeker, someone who's trying to practice spiritual life, sometimes he gets misled. Sometimes people they're making progress. They're chanting Hare Krishna, they're progressing, but it's a gradual progress, a gradual process. And then they think, oh, look at there, that's something very shining, that looks better, maybe I should do that, maybe sense gratification, maybe material life, but more, maybe some other spiritual process, which they promise you can become God overnight, you just take, some quick process. And sometimes people get misled. We could get misled if you're not careful. So like that Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to train the people to discriminate, to have jnana chakshu, the vision of knowledge to know what is actually good for us spiritually and what is not. To know what is the self, what is this material world, who is the origin of everything, the Supreme Self, Lord Krishna. So people need to have more than just a superficial knowledge, they need to have a deep knowledge. There's otherwise not just a yes, no, very good. You know that story, yes, no, very good from India? You know that India was under British rule for 200 years. So, there was one man, he got a new job as a clerk under the British office. So he had learned some, someone told him that you want to speak English, you just say yes, no, very good. And then, so he thought, now I know English, I know, yes, no, very good. So he thought when the British man comes, I'll impress him how much English I know. I'll just tell him, yes, no, very good. So it so happened that there was something missing from the office. So the British man, he came in and he said, what is this? Something is missing. Did you take it? He said, yes, sir. He doesn't know anything he's saying. He just know yes, no, very good. Say, yes, sir. He said, oh, you did it. All right. Are you going to tell me where you put it? No, sir. All right. You stole it. You're not telling me where you put it. Then I'm going to have you put in jail. Very good, sir. So, you know, yes, no, very good. And he was, he thought that I will impress the person because I'm speaking such nice English. He doesn't know what's going on. So we don't want to just know a few names, karma, reincarnation, some superficial, but not really know what it means. Then just drop it. Yes, no, very good. Karma, reincarnation, astral projection, psychic healing, this, that. We want to have a jnana chakshus, actual knowledge. Knowledge that when we are in difficulty, when we are in trouble in our own life, we can be saved. We can deliver ourselves. This is the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness. We want people to come here, learn how to worship Krishna, learn the science of Bhagavad Gita, and then practice in their own lives. We want hundreds and thousands of people practicing in their homes, hundreds of thousands. Every home can be a temple. And also, of course, we need some missionaries who can help in the Sankirtan movement. So some people who are able to, they can also participate in the spreading of the movement. But our mission is to give everyone this knowledge, whether they're a full-time missionary preacher, or whether they're someone who practices, a devotee who practices in their home and helps in whatever way they can. This is a science of God consciousness, science of Krishna consciousness. Now someone might think, well, that's all good, but that's when I get very old. Or they might think it's not very essential. Or maybe, but actually it's a very, very essential point. One there was an Italian lady, she's about 42, and a husband and two children. She's been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years. And she took shelter from me about 2 years ago, saying she's preparing, in the future she'd like to take initiation. But then, for whatever reason, she didn't take initiation. This year, at the festival in India, in Mayapur, annual big festival, she came and she had a letter of recommendation from the GBC, a temple president of Milano Temple, to get initiated. And he explained that she's doing everything she's otherwise qualified. Also, the doctors say that she has got cancer and she may only live a short time. So it's urgent if she gets initiation and she wants to prepare herself in case she has to leave her body very soon. They explained I was wasting my time, I was delaying, and now they say that I don't have long to live, I want to really prepare myself for my next life. I want to prepare myself to go back to Krishna. So I need to surrender to the Guru and serve. So we gave her initiation. Rupeshwari Devi Dasi was her name. She was Rosa, became Rupeshwari. Name of Radharani. And she visited Mayapur, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. She went back to Milano. And then in July we heard that she went to the hospital. She was feeling bad. And then the doctors told her that they're doing studies, and all of a sudden she's feeling a lot of pain. They said, actually, the cancer has gone throughout your entire body. There's nothing we can do now. You have got 24 hours to live. So what would you like us to do for you? This could happen to anybody. It's in this day and age, nobody can say it can happen to anyone, anytime. AIDS, cancer, so many things are there nowadays. Somebody may not even get 24 hours warning. In the car, driving, so many things happen. Airline. Even the Pope, he was just walking off of his throne, and he just looked the wrong way, and he tripped and fell down from the throne and broke his, dislocated his shoulder. There's a danger, even you're in the throne room, you can fall and break your arm, you know, so. Padang, padang, yad bi padang, metesham. Danger at every step. What would you do, you, in that circumstance? So she asked the doctor, I want the ambulance. The doctor said, you want the ambulance, but you're already in the hospital. I said, I don't want the ambulance to go to the hospital because you already can't do anything for me. I want the ambulance to go to the temple. Because if I can leave my body in Krishna's temple, then I'll go back to the spiritual world. So I want to immediately be taken to the Krishna temple so I can prepare to die there. So the doctors were very cooperative. They arranged the ambulance. And from the hospital, the ambulance went to the temple with the red light going, everything. It might have been the first time in history that the ambulance went from the hospital to a temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. So Rupeshwari went there, and the devotees were very cooperative. They gave her a guest room. She bowed down to the deities. They helped her. She was in pain. They started chanting. They sent me a fax, a calm message, actually. This is the situation, what to do. I sent back how to put the deities garland and put like give her Charanamrita and different things they can do, read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. So many advices I gave. She's very happy they got the message right away, and then she was feeling blessed because she got from her guru so much, some message. And then she went like into some kind of a coma. The devotees were around chanting a kirtan, and all of a sudden she got better. She sat up and they gave her Prabhupada tapes, and she was reading and gave her prasadam. She was very sick, but she was became conscious, and then like this she, for 1 week, they gave her 24 hours, she got 1 week like this. But then at the end of the week, again she was feeling very bad. The devotees all gathered together. They were all chanting. Someone was reading on Gita on one side, other side reading Chaitanya or the Srimad Bhagavatam, the big kirtan, 15 devotees in the room chanting. And it just so happened that the Madhusavita Prabhu, our GBC guru, he was also just arrived at Milano from Belgium. And he went and he was there. He was amazed to hear the devotees there, the Mataji, she's there, you know. Everyone's chanting, and then all of a sudden, like, she opens her mouth, and he shouted out, Hare Krishna! And everyone is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that was it. She left her body. Everyone chanting Hare Krishna, Bhagavatam, Gita, everything. He told me, this is a very big impression, you know, how many times you see someone leaving like that. If I could put in my will, I want to die like this. Everyone around chanting Hare Krishna. leaving your body like that. The devotees, we're there to help people get back to Krishna. That's our purpose. And it don't have to be even in a temple to get back to Krishna. You can be anybody. You can be any sincere devotee of Krishna and get back to Krishna. Right? The point is to prepare, always taking shelter of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, practicing devotional service. So, this is the real problems of life that we have to face. But these problems of life don't become insurmountable. They become easily overcome by taking shelter of Krishna. With the spiritual knowledge, she didn't have any fears. When the doctor told her that you're going to die, you know, she didn't get all freaked out. And, okay, no, I don't want to die. There was this big, he was like the Sylvester Stallone of the Rambo of India. He was a big macho hero that in Bengal. He was a big movie star, jumping from buildings, you know, and stopping moving trains and whatever, you know, like super hero. But the doctor came to see him, and the doctor said, "It's very serious. You only have a little time to live." And the big, you know, hero muscles and everything, he grabbed the doctor's hand. "I don't want to die! I don't want to die! Save me! Save me!" And he died. The newspaper man, they asked the doctor, "How do you feel? Your patient was holding your hand, begging you to save him. And he died holding your hand. What do you say about that?" And the doctor said, "Look, at many times he did that, and many times I saved him. I only failed once." So every doctor is going to fail once, it's guaranteed. Because he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was death. Where was the next point in life? What was he going? He was fearful. They said, "We can voluntarily bow down before Krishna and offer our obeisances while we're alive, bow down to God, accept him as our protector, as our shelter. If we don't, we'll be forced to bow down at the end of life. We'll be bowing down on the backside. The dead body bowing down. Everyone has to bow before God. Either do it living voluntarily or you do it at the end. They'll be stretched out." So anyone, it can be a small child, can be a man, woman, whoever, anyone who has this knowledge, they become fearless. Bhajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhoya charanara vindare. Abhoya, mean fearless because of the protection of Krishna. Because we know who we are and where we're going and what is the purpose of life. So we thank all of you for your sincere efforts in cultivating your spiritual life. Everyone here raised their hand and wanted to go back to the highest perfection of spiritual life. So I appreciate very much for your sincere efforts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions?
Yes, Prabhu.
One looks to the spiritual, one should have a formal relationship with the Guru of respect and faith. And one could consider that the Guru is a well-wisher. He's your best friend, because what is a friend? Someone who look out for your interests. So in that sense, not that we become familiar with the Guru and pat him on the back and like a friend. We have to maintain a certain formality, because that's to protect us from making an offense to the Guru. Because an offense to the Guru would be very serious. Krishna would be very dissatisfied with that. So we consider the Guru is friendly. That depends on the Guru. If he, how friendly he is with us, we accept that, and we consider him our friend, because he's not a friend, like a father is a friend also. But not in the sense of familiarity. We don't want to be familiar with the Guru. Over-familiar, we would say. Maybe that's something that has to develop according to the relationship with the Guru. Any question on today's discussions? Because the real milk has the slight differences. Sometimes the cows are taking more grass, so it become a little thinner. Sometimes they're taking more thicker, like some kind of grain or something, and it might become a little thicker. Sometimes milk is more creamy or less creamy. If you understand that, if he really wanted to, he could go and he could see the milkman milking the milk, and he could watch the milk come, and he could be sure that it's pure milk. What is he going to understand from just complaining? Just by doubting, you don't. If you have a doubt, you should investigate. Is it pure milk or not? Is it according to the scriptures? Is it according to the guru? Is it according to the sadhus, the example of other great souls who have achieved success in their life? And when you understand that this is the pure milk, then you have to go on taking it. You go on taking it, just like a person will go on taking healthy food. If you don't take it, then you'll die. You have to by starvation. So you go on taking. Of course, this one analogy doesn't answer all the questions. But you should go on taking the milk. But simultaneously, of course, there's other analogies which will give a better explanation, that you had to also continue with the spiritual process. A part of that process is to be taking the guidance from the Guru, to be serving Krishna according to the instructions of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. Sometimes people come and they think that, okay, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. Within one month or 2 months or maybe a year, I'll become already completely self-realized. I'll be able to fly to other planets or something in my spiritual body. But Srila Prabhupada said it took him 20 years to achieve perfection. It may take some time before someone can achieve a God realization. It's not a small thing. Just to become a doctor, people go 12 years of primary and secondary education. Then they go to 4 years of undergraduate college. Then they go again for another 3-4 years of postgraduate study. Then they go for internship in the hospital for 2-3 years. Then they become a doctor. Isn't it? Somebody wants to be a self-realized soul and is counting the minutes and days. Of course, if someone's desire is so intense, you can achieve perfection even in one moment. But then you require tremendous desire for that. Tremendous enthusiasm. It's not material. It's not like a fixed period that you have to go through 20 years of education and 2 years of practice or something. It's not so rigid, because it may take a lifetime.
If you're very not very enthusiastic, and not properly faithful to the process, or it can happen if you're very enthusiastic and very determined, you can achieve a very short time. For instance, Dhruva Maharaj, he achieved realization of Krishna in 5 months. But the intensity with which he was practicing is not something we could imitate. But in nothing else, when we leave our body, if we are practicing Krishna consciousness and we're maintaining our spiritual consciousness, then we'll go back to Krishna. And if someone's a little more enthusiastic, more dedicated that in this lifetime they can also achieve the realization. They don't have to wait to leave the body. But that's more rare. From outside means? Sometimes the devotees, when they chant, they become so absorbed that they don't remember anything else but Krishna. Although, usually, they're internally experiencing this ecstasy, but externally they're also aware of things that are going on. Other how you can chant kirtan, right? I mean, Lord Chaitanya would, and some of associates would sometimes go in so much ecstasy that they would lose consciousness of the external world, and they would be smashing, and the devotees would try grabbing them because they were not aware. But that was very few people, very rare cases that that would happen. And even they would normally, when they're chanting, would be aware. Otherwise, it'd be like a collision course all the time. It happens sometimes with Lord Chaitanya. And sometime with Lord Nityananda also. One time five devotees were trying to hold down Nityananda and he's going, Hariva, Hariva, and he's Krishna, and he's running this side, running that. And people are, the devotees are afraid he's going to smash into something and they're grabbing him and five devotees are being pulled. That's why Lord Chaitanya went and grabbed Lord Nityananda. And then Nityananda became very peaceful. Krishna, Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya just sat down and took Nityananda's head on his lap. And Krishna, and Lord and Nityananda, Krishna, Krishna. He's like feeling so much love for Krishna, so much separation. And then Lord Chaitanya touching Nityananda, he became filled with separation from Krishna and tears were pouring from Lord Chaitanya's eyes and washing Lord Nityananda's face. Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna, where are you, Krishna? The devotee feels so much love for Krishna, they want to be with Krishna. This is a this is the liberated, this already liberated platform, fully perfected. So Nityananda, when the tears are falling on his face from Lord Chaitanya, and he became conscious of Lord Chaitanya, and he sat up, he took Lord Chaitanya and put his head on his lap, and he was crying, holding Lord Chaitanya. And the devotees are watching, what is going on? 1 minute, Lord Chaitanya has Nityananda's head, next minute, Nityananda has Lord Chaitanya's head. So much love is like flowing. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya will be chanting and chanting and then Srup Damodar will say, whoa, the devotees have been chanting 6 hours now, no prasadam. Some devotees are like a little tired. Lord Chaitanya is keeping on with the kirtan so nobody can stop. And then he'd say, Lord Chaitanya, you know, Lord Chaitanya had superhuman transcendental stamina and strength. He'd go on chanting the whole night sometimes. He said, let the devotees take a little rest and take some prasadam. You also take prasad. Oh, okay. Haribo. So that would happen sometime. But this year, Navadvip Parikram in Mayapur, the kirtans are going on 4 or 5 hours at a stretch. Nobody wants to stop. So I have the responsibility to see that everyone gets prasadam, gets a place to stay as a Mayapur host. So sometimes, you know, you go to the kirtan and take care of the devotees. And you have to sometimes go out of the kirtan and see, okay. Because not everybody is into the kirtan. Like maybe 50 or 100 or 200, 300, 400, depends how many people. But another 1,000 devotees are there. They want to go and take a bath and take lunch. So you have to arrange for them also what to do. No, you're a very good realization that having pure love for Krishna means we already actually achieved the spiritual world. if we are able to achieve pure love even in this world, then it means that for all practical purposes, we're already in the spiritual world. Iha yasya hirdase karmana manasa gira nikala svapyavasta su jivan mukta suchite. If someone is offering all their thoughts, their words, their activities to Krishna in pure devotional service, then even while they're in this material world, they're already jivan mukta suchite. Even while they're living, they're liberated. So, of course, the most important, is, as you have mentioned, is to actually have love for Krishna. That is the most important. If we have that, then automatically, wherever Krishna wants us to serve him, we have to be wherever he is, that will be the spiritual world, or as good as the spiritual world. So the two are not separable, but the focus should be on the loving devotion to Krishna. That is true. That is the highest vision. And most people, they don't realize that, so we combine the two together because many new people are there, they might not appreciate love for Krishna and they may appreciate spiritual world. But actually, since you brought it up, love for Krishna is the highest perfection, and the spiritual world is a byproduct. Wherever someone loves Krishna, they're in the spiritual world. This whole material world is not spiritual because we are trying to enjoy it. But this material world, if we use it in Krishna's service, it also becomes spiritualized. So the Guru also has ordered us we should develop love for Krishna, we should go back to Godhead. So part of Prabhupada's instruction, we should prepare ourselves. Now Krishna wants or not, that's up to him, but we should prepare ourselves to serve Krishna eternally. Now Krishna lives in the spiritual world. He occasionally comes down here into the material world, or in some universe or other. So we are agreed to serve Krishna either in this material world or in the spiritual, wherever he wants. But we want to be engaged in pure devotional service to Krishna. Because we realize that in that service, that we are actually in the spiritual world. In that service, we're actually in the perfection of life. That's our constitutional position. But we don't want to just be in the material world without devotional service, because that means, then again, conditional life and so many entanglements and no Krishna. We don't want to be without Krishna. Krishna is the focus. What is your name?
Shyama
Manjari. Shyama Manjari. Thank you very much. Then I would see Srila Prabhupada and I would try to offer him some praise and I would also make a prayer. So I remember one time I went to Srila Prabhupada and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to serve you life after life. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at me and said, why do you want to make me come back? And I had to think, what did I say wrong? I thought I said the right thing. And I said, I want to serve you life after life. And I said, I mean, I want to serve you even life after life. And even if the Lord wants, okay, we are agreed to come back in the material world to serve him, but we want to serve him. We say even life after, because not that we insist we have to serve here. If the Lord wants us to serve in the spiritual world, we accept that. So the Guru, why Krishna would keep somebody in this horrible place? Unless he has maybe some very special service to do, otherwise he won't keep one here. They'll take back to the spiritual world. So the devotee is prepared to want to serve Krishna. So we say, even life after life. Whatever the Lord's service means, we are surrendered to the Lord's desire, whatever he wants. So any last question? That's the jewel. That's the jewel. That's everything, isn't it? Raghunath Das Goswami he offered a prayer to his spiritual master, where he thanked his spiritual master for all the different benedictions that he got. He said, Namo, Nama Shastam Manumapi. Nama Shastam. Nama means what? The holy name. Shrestha means the best mantra, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nama Shastam. I got the Maha Mantra from my spiritual master. Nama Shastam. Manumapi. As well as the Gayatri Mantra. This silent mantra that the one is given. Nama Shastam Manumapi Sachi Putram. And Raghunath Das got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He only got that by the mercy of Guru. Sachi Putram, the son of Mother Sachi. Atra Sarupam, he also got by the mercy, he also got the mercy of Sarup Damodar. He was able to serve Sarup Damodar as his assistant. He was the assistant secretary of Lord Chaitanya. Sachiputram Atra Sarupam. Rupam. He also got association Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. Tasyagrajam. And his older brother, Sanatan Goswami. Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim.